Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Vagabond Dilemma, featuring me, Henry, and my co-host, the ever-dashing Rudy. I don't know, I think I did it in reverse order today. Anyway, on today's episode, we have yet the humblest version of Rudy ever, as he talks about three cheeky little Portuguese explorers. Without further ado, please enjoy the episode.
Okay, I guess we're going. The normal prep, we let it out the window. Woohoo!
What? That was literally normal.
I don't know. Italians! I love Italians. L is for the way I look at their ass. O is for the only ass I see. V is for their very voluptuous ass.
Right, we're getting real original on these lyrics.
Listen, you put me on
it's
spot.
It's for the way you eat that ass, probably, isn't it?
Probably, and love is what I would give to their asses. But,
right.
You put me on spot, and I defaulted. And I'm gonna be honest, when was the last time I actually mentioned Italians in this podcast?
Yeah, too recently.
Just because you are biased, and I am biased on the other end of the spectrum, doesn't mean we can't meet in the midway.
It actually does.
It's because of you the world is failing in its economy and political world.
Because of me?
Yes.
Why?
Because
I'm right? Because I'm always right? Sorry, because I'm always right? Is that what you said? Because I'm always right? Because I'm always right? Or... sorry, is it because I'm always right? Or is that something I'm missing? Is it because I'm always right? Because I'm always right? Like, I'm always correct? Like, I'm in the right usually? Like, not usually, always.
And now everybody will see that you're the freak in our relationship. And
right.
I'm being gaslighted for both of us, most of the cases.
So true. Poor Rudy. Won't somebody pour one out for Rudy? He's such a victim today.
I am.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Come on, it's your intro. Say something.
Oh, you. I will hold back from the words that were at the tip of my tongue, you scoundrel.
You know what? I will do the same as you, though. I'm going to grab a notepad, actually, because...
now he's taking notes from me, who was taking notes. Anyhow, welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma! Your podcast bringing you history, improv, with gracious hosts, Henry and Rudy. You done there?
I think this episode... no, I was actually checking three bags, and then it turned out it was behind me the entire time.
Well, that's what happens when you don't clean your room up in time. Oh, was that shade? Yes, it was.
Wow. Oh no, Rudy, you got me. Where?
I feel accomplished.
I guess this is what happens when I'm always right.
We both know that it's me who's always right, but...
yeah, Mr. Gigantic Ego.
I mean, I don't brag about it as much, so I would say I'm so humble.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with
that. Because you know what? What's the best thing about being right? People get
that you
pissed
can be
off.
Humble about it.
People get pissed off by the fact itself. You don't even have to say you're right. People just get pissed off because they were wrong. So I don't have to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, jokes aside, you are like the most humble person I know. So I think... I think we can move on knowing that fact.
I mean, thank you. I appreciate it. I try. Yeah. I try. Sometimes I hold myself back and it's like, you know, I feel like people don't appreciate me, you know?
Yeah, I think what I appreciate about you the most is that you don't let stuff get to your head. You're just always clear about it. You're always clear-minded. You're always, like,
okay.
Nice about
it's
your accomplishments.
I mean, I was... don't, please. The compliments are too much. You make me blush.
You could have basically saved the world already, but you don't want to, like, throw too much shade on current scientists and doctors. So you're, like, you're just holding back a little bit. And that's,
don't.
I think that's actually very honorable.
Don't, because then people start asking questions, and I don't like the limelight, you know me. Spotlight is not really
my... yeah. Sorry, my bad. That was just me being an egomaniac again.
All right. Down from this charade. It's honestly so hard to play a decent human being. I know I'm good. I know I'm, you know, the best you can offer to this world. And I'm going to own it. Listen. If I shine like a diamond, then I will continue shining. What can I do? You can't polish something that's already polished. Am I right?
I don't know if that's true, but I like the sentiment.
Okay, any world view changing news from you, Henry?
Yeah, this whole notes shit is really shaking my world. Like I'm legitimately writing down right now, Rudy is humble, and that's kind of crazy to me.
Nobody has ever written those words down on paper, I'll just be very clear. In history of me, probably nobody ever has written that down.
There you go, here's the proof.
Oh my god.
Rudy is humble, you cannot see this at all on camera.
Don't write it, otherwise it's gonna come true.
Isn't that what we all want?
What, for me to be humble? Hey! Don't be ridiculous, love.
Let's see. I mean, the only thing I have to really say is that I've really been enjoying trucking.
Oh yeah,
I love trucking.
Yeah, that's a thing that you and our dear friend do, my child.
Yes. I want to be a truck driver when I grow up. Because I played a video game about it, and it's fun.
This is why the boomers are saying that Gen Z have no accomplishments and will achieve nothing. Because of us saying shit like this sarcastically, and then they hear this out of context and they're like, look at this generation, we're all gonna die!
But I specifically want to be a truck driver that only accelerates and turns right, while I have a partner in the truck that only turns left and brakes. So, you know, that's that next level
partnership. I still can't believe you managed to work on that and it actually works.
We're just talented, I guess.
I guess you are.
Alright. What about you, Rudy? Anything to note? Or shall we get into it?
Yeah, I wanted to note that cell phone's on silent, shut your fucking mouth, and we start the show.
Actually, did you hear my phone or not?
Oh no, that was just something else.
Because like it went off like 4 times just now, so I thought you might have heard it.
Oh no. It was just something I want to say.
Alright, then just a quick intro to the show, since we haven't done that. This is the Vagabond Dilemma, right? We have done that.
Excuse me? This just proves of how much you listen to me? I literally
you literally did not
you
say that.
While you were looking for your notebook, because I
You
was...
said it's you and me. You didn't actually explain the show.
I think...
Did you?
I did! In my way, but I did! With a little bit of history, right. A little bit of improv... Listeners, you hearing this?
I'm going to splice this in what you said right now. Splice in.
To the Vagabond Dilemma! Your podcast bringing you history, improv, with gracious hosts Henry and Rudy.
Splice out. You hear that?
It's me being right, isn't it?
It's you being wrong. All right. And whoever has it wrong has to do 10 push-ups on the next episode, huh?
Easy fucking money.
Alright. That's all good with me. Then, no intro needed, apparently, because Rudy's always right. The humblest person on earth. Let's get into it. Who we got today?
Today we got a couple of lads, actually. Because I like to do a little bit of a turnaround, a little bit of a surprise here and there. And then I figured that in a while... I don't know, I can do one episode that's in like, you know, your average one-person story, blah, blah. And then the next one has to be something special for me. So I couldn't settle, you know, me and boys, I can't settle on just one. So I settled on 3.
Nice.
And we're going to talk about today, about the Cortereal brothers.
Oh.
Yes. And
I'm familiar with the name.
And it's actually quite surprising that to me, it was surprising that we haven't done them yet, because they show up on all, at least 2 of them, show up on all the top 10 mysterious disappearances and explorers, right? So when
yes.
I'm looking through those to find new explorers for our show, I always kind of, because I know we put them on the list, and I kind of assumed we already did
yeah.
them, and then I was looking through the list and I was like, no, we, at the very beginning, skipped them and then nobody did it.
Yeah, I mean, we also have another, like, very big expedition that we haven't covered yet.
Yes,
but it's because...
But we're gonna keep them, you know, you gotta keep them wanting more.
Yes, I mean, I think that's just one I really want to do justice when I get to it eventually, because I do think it's a really fun one.
Yes. And I yes, just, for I now, totally I just haven't. What you mean by that? Yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So today I'm basically appealing to the masses, and we're doing Famous. Right, the Cortereal brothers. So because there's three of them, the way I'm gonna do this is there's gonna be a small segment that I'm not gonna reveal now in the middle, but basically what the story will be, I'm gonna start with a small bit of backstory. And then we're gonna go chronological order through each of the brothers. Is that okay
right, sorry,
with you,
yeah.
my co-host?
Yeah, sorry, I just realized I was muted when I answered you, but yes.
Right. Let's go. Backstory. Gaspar, Miguel, and Vasco, the three sons of the, at the times, prestigious Portuguese explorer, João Vaz Cortereal. And by the way, is that how you pronounce that name? Because you probably know which one I mean. The Portuguese name.
João?
Yes.
I have to assume so.
Okay. Because it's quite a well-known name of the time. In a sense of, like, I've heard other people having this name. I think there's
João is the John in is John in Portuguese.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, did not know that.
Or like the Portuguese equivalent of John, you know.
Ah. All right. So, respectively, that would mean that our starting location for today is Portugal. And
Yay!
Which era?
1550s.
15th century. So you also you had me in the first half, but then you missed by a century.
Yeah, unfortunate.
So all three sons, just like their father, took up exploring. And when it comes to Gaspar, who is the youngest of the three, sometimes even accompanied their father in his explorations of North America and its coastline.
Ooh.
Hence, to not overload the simplistic minds of our listeners, I shall introduce their relevance to the story one by one.
Why did you call everybody an idiot, basically?
Because I mean, you know me. I'm a nice person and I will provide this in a way that people can understand, you know? I'm like Ursula from Little Mermaid, like, poor unfortunate souls. In pain. In need.
Alright. Okay, let's get it.
The most I will have is on Gaspar, because he's from the three of them the most famous one when it comes to this specific story. So there's more to find about him. But that doesn't discredit the rest of their efforts. Okay, Gaspar, the youngest of the three, and perhaps the most experienced when it comes to seafaring. In 1498, when Gaspar was 48 years old, so actually he does this specific trip when he's already, you know, midway there, let's put it that way. Yeah, he's upper average. King Manuel I of Portugal took interest in exploring western lands, recently discovered by our dear friend, guess who? It's actually a person who I have done an episode on.
I don't remember.
John Cabot.
Oh, Giovanni Caboto.
Exactly, Giovanni Caboto, our dear friend, discovered, and King Manuel I is like, well, free real estate, am I right?
Right.
Right, so, but then, because at the time, there's, you know, Portuguese, Spanish, some other interested parties looking for land in those areas. So why, you might ask, King Manuel I is like, okay, these are definitely ours? Well, because according to his interpretation of the Treaty of Tordesillas, those lands fell under the rule of Portugal. What is Treaty of Tordesillas? Well, I'm so glad you asked, Henry. So let me bitch this to you using a modern map. And I should have probably... Give me a minute. Spend time.
I will say I am somewhat familiar with the Treaty of Tordesillas because of Epic Gamer Alert. I play games. But it's a pretty cool thing, let's say.
So, is it? Because I'm about to introduce it in a context that it's not so such a good thing.
I mean, I think it's a cool artifact of the time, let's say. I don't think necessarily it's a good thing for the world, but I think it's a cool artifact of the time.
Well, I guess up to interpretation of how you view it. Because, right, for those who don't know, This treaty was signed between Portugal and Spain on June 7th, 1494. And what it essentially meant was that along the meridian 370, both sovereigns would divide their territory in the New World. East of the meridian would belong to Portugal, and west would belong to Spain. And now I'm gonna post this map, and people, I encourage you to look up where the 370 meridian is, because look at the map. Henry, I posted this in the chat.
Yep.
So Treaty of Tordesillas is the purple line there.
Yes.
And when I say, because at the time you have to understand that they just basically found New World.
Yes.
Spain gets everything in the New World on the east, and Portugal gets everything on the west. You see what I'm getting at here?
I thought it was the other way around.
No.
Portugal is supposed to get west of the purple line.
East. You're right. It's east. Portugal is supposed to be east. But anyhow, for one party, this doesn't seem like such a good deal if you look at the nowadays world map.
I mean, okay, I will let you continue your story.
For those who didn't pull up map, though, to understand the inner joke here, the Treaty of Tordesillas means that the meridian that runs on the 370 line is, it basically divides, what is it, Brazil in half and then Greenland in half, right?
Yeah.
So, everything on the east is Portuguese, right? But back in the day, I guess they thought that on the western part of that meridian, there's just as much land and not more. But what is on the west side of it is the whole North American continent and most part of South American continent. So it doesn't... Right. It's a big fucking L for the Portuguese people, is what it basically is.
Yeah, but it's like... That's the reason that Portugal also went like to the East Indies, like in Indonesia and Africa. While Spain didn't at all. So it's not like it's the worst deal in the world.
I mean, now you're implying the indirect consequences of it. But the treaty by itself, yeah. Just as pure...
I mean, if you say that this treaty is purely and only about the Americas, then yeah, this fucking sucks for Portugal.
Exactly. I must add, though, that 30 years later, a new treaty, namely the Treaty of Saragossa, which you see in the map as the Green Line, was signed, which basically introduced an anti-meridian in the other part of the world. So they divided, what essentially does is divides two parts of the world, for one right. to be Portuguese and the other one for the Spaniards.
Yeah.
And here I'm gonna do my little segment, because it kind of, I don't know, I want to sound some down some rabbit holes. It's a introductory, small guest lecture segment. So it's just for fun. I looked up the worst deals in history. This was, of course, up there, and there are a lot of them are business deals, which I don't care about or couldn't care less about, right?
Right.
Most of them do with money, of course, but I can't care less about economics of this. But I did right. find some interesting things. For example, I found that in 1965, a French lawyer, André-François Raffray, found an apartment for investment purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jean Calment, a 90-year-old woman, was the owner of the property with no living heirs. So, of mm-hmm. course, this guy's like, instead of purchasing it, he's like, I'm going to strike a deal with John that I would pay her a sum of 2,500 francs, which is about 330 pounds, British pounds a month, until she died, right? And then I will get her apartment. She's 90 years old, right? Joke's on him. He was only 47 years old at the time, so he would thought that he has plenty of time for this to come into fruition. He's going to become rich or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
30 years later, he dies at the age of 77, and John was still kicking it at 120.
Fucking based as hell.
That's honestly so funny to me.
Basically just paid an old woman's rent for the rest of his life.
Yep.
Well, the duality of man or whatever, right?
Well, I know that you have been all around the world in your life, Henry, but you predominantly spend your time in the last years here in the Netherlands, right? So as yes. a honorary Dutch boy, can you name me one deal that Dutch took the L on? It's infamous for it?
I wish you had prepared me for this, because I'm not ready.
It is a very known deal for
Historically?
Historically, yeah. I will tell you when it happened. 1667.
Nah. I don't remember.
So back in 1667, Dutch owned the land that nowadays we know as New York Manhattan District.
Oh, right. That's
but they
true.
Swap it for the tiny inaccessible island of Run, which at the time just had more, I think it was to do with more farming resources. And then Manhattan was basically a swampland. But yeah, so after years and years and years, now you see how it developed. Island of Run is, nobody fucking cares about it, just a fucking island somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And Manhattan is Manhattan.
Didn't the Dutch, like, not have a lot of choice in that, though?
I think that's the story of the natives in Dutch.
What do you mean?
Like, how Dutch... Don't quote me on this. But when Dutch first came to the swampland, right?
Right.
The natives were inhabiting it, or at least this was a territory that was part of their territory. And Dutch were, they allegedly struck a deal and bought the land for the equivalent of nowadays, I think it was a very, very small amount, like one-digit dollars, something like that.
Right.
But that's the story of, like, everybody's like, oh yeah, this is the worst deal in history, but in reality, of course, the natives probably didn't have much of a choice. So they were like, hey, we must trade something, rather than just, you know...
Right.
Shit.
No, but I mean that, like, I'm pretty sure that the Dutch were, like, forced to take a deal as well. I don't know. I don't remember this. I could look it up right now, but I don't want to derail. Anyway, it still kind of sucks, yeah. At the bottom line, it pretty much sucks.
There's one more deal like this when it comes to big territories, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Anything comes to mind?
That's right. The Great Trade of New Zealand, surely.
No.
Alaska?
Yes, actually, yes! Sold for $7.2 million. Russia sells it to USA. No, we know it is USA. Because back then, nobody knew that Alaska has oil and gas, which is at least $200 billion. Copper, gold, and... what is it, molybdenum, which is up to $500 billion, and fishing and seafood industry. That one does have intricacies, because that was kind of Russia was gonna lose it probably anyway, so they were like, at least we can strike a deal and sell him. And at the time when Alaska was bought, most Americans actually thought that, why the fuck would you do this? This is the worst deal. But,
right.
Well, I guess, eat shit.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it makes sense. You get a cheeky piece of land on your you shut out the continent. I don't know. I don't think it's a bad idea. Like, from the American perspective, without knowing whatever's there. I don't know. I would buy a piece of land for like 7.2 milli. That's all I'm saying. If it's the size of Alaska, why not?
Fair enough. And then there's, of course, more modern stories of, somebody sells a Bitcoin for $5 and later on it costs whatever billion.
That's not a bad deal, though. Because who could have known?
That's
like
true.
That's like me buying a fucking piece of bread now for $1 and then later the euro is worth 20 times and it's like, where are you bought a piece of bread for $1? You're so stupid. It's like, okay, bro.
No, but okay, that's true. There is a sad story, though, that somebody... they had the Bitcoin key or whatever encrypted on an old CD drive or whatever, like an outer memory, external memory.
Yes.
It wasn't back then. It wasn't worth anything. So they were cleaning the house or something. They threw the external hard drive out, and then years after, it's now worth, billions or whatever it is. And the guy actually tried to find it in the dump.
Yeah, I'm not surprised he didn't manage.
I don't know if he did or did not manage. I just know this is a story that the guy tried to find.
Well, the moral of that story is never throw anything out, keep everything, be a hoarder.
Sure. Anyway, right, we go back to Gaspar.
Gaspar. Right?
So, our boy set sail towards Greenland. And yes. In 1500, on dot, actually reaches it. Although back then 1500? He believed... Yeah, 1500, so the cusp of the 16th century.
So 1600?
1500 the years is the 16th century, right? So 1500 is the cusp of the 16th century.
So I was basically right. Why were you flaming me? I was basically right when I said 1550. That was pretty close.
Off by 50 years.
If you look in perspective of the fucking world history, then I'm pretty fucking close.
I'm sorry, is this the sound of you getting shit and being mad about it?
Yes. Because I'm not humble. And I'm actually very, very, very mad at you right now, actually. Okay. As you can see.
Okay, while you come back.
Not okay, actually. No.
Although back then he believed Greenland was to be East Asia, because Columbus believed so.
Right.
But our boy, our our most favorite trope about northern explorations, I feel like, he was unable to land because of ice. So
yes.
In 1501, so 1 year later, he sets out on a second voyage, taking 3 caravels. Imagine 3 caravels with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, once again, a massive L due to frozen seas around Greenland.
Do these motherfuckers not know to go in summer? Like, what am I missing here?
I don't know, man. I have no idea. So they changed course and landed in what nowadays is called Labrador. Then he pulled the Portuguese signature move, which is...
going home.
No, he captured 57 indigenous people to be sold into slavery back in Portugal.
Ah, business.
Yeah, in order to assist the financing of this endeavor. So yeah, I guess.
Right.
Talk about worst deals in history. But karma seemed to have caught up to him earlier than expected, as only 2 out of 3 ships returned back to Portugal, and his was not one of them.
Oh, he got lost?
Yeah. But this is not where I finish my story.
No, because we were talking about all 3.
Exactly. Now we go on to the second brother, Miguel.
Basically, one has gone missing at this point, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And he's not coming back.
As far as we know, no. After hearing of his brother's disappearance, Miguel, in May 1502, so 1 year after the voyage of Gaspar, Miguel is 54 years old at then. He sets out from Lisbon with 3 ships on an expedition to search his fratello. Apparently, this expedition actually reaches the spot where Gaspar's expedition initially landed. But then the classic horror movie trope. To cover more land, the 3 ships split in different directions. and at the time of the rendezvous, which is August 20th, summer, Miguel's ship failed to show up. The other 2 ships successfully make it back to Portugal.
Well, well, well. We got a little bit of a pattern here, don't we?
Exactly! And there's more of a pattern than you would think, because the first brother gets lost. He also set out with 3 ships. His ship gets lost, the other 2 get back to Portugal. Miguel goes to look for his brother, 3 ships. His ship gets lost, the other 2 get back to Portugal. Now we go on to the third guy, Vasco. And after 2 of his brothers missing, this brother, of course, family ties and whatnot, decides to engage into expedition to find his missing family members. However, this time, King Manuel I gives him not 3, 2 ships, with strict instructions that Vasco himself cannot sail on them.
What do you mean? Like, he has to be a passenger?
He is not allowed to go onto the expedition.
Oh, he's not allowed to come?
Yes. The expedition returns in the fall without having found any trace of either of the 2 missing brothers. And this is where I leave.
But Vasco, who was the last one? Vasco?
Vasco is the 3rd brother. He survives only because King Miguel is not allowing him to go.
Right. He was forced to stay at home.
Yeah. I feel like even King Miguel saw a pattern. He was like, to break it, we're not going to give him 3 but 2 ships, and he's not going with them.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't give him the 3rd ship that he's on, then that one can't go missing. So that was a really...
literally the plan here.
It was a pretty smart move from the king. I respect that. I think they were in on a conspiracy here.
I knew it. You will. I know that you will love this story because you are our king of conspiracies and whatnot. And when I was reading this, I was like, this is clearly grounds for something.
Right. I mean, what were the names? Miguel, what was it? Vasco? Miguel?
It's,
Vasco
and the second? Gaspar and Miguel were the ones who were lost, and Vasco is the one who stayed home.
So they basically, the family, you know, known for exploring, because the dad, they were like, okay, we can basically ride off of our dad's legacy and get some real money-making in here, right?
Yeah.
But we don't want to share our riches with the Kingdom of Portugal. So we'll have to do this in a little tactical way. So, Gaspar, Miguel, and Vasco, they hatch a plan. We're all going to go on expedition, steal one ship, and mysteriously go missing. And from that, we can be pirates on the high seas and just rob whoever comes our way, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, the easiest way is, whoops, we went missing. Whoopsie. So, they have to do it in a way that's not, like, too obvious, right? Because then they'll be caught. So, they send one brother. He goes missing. Yeah. They got one ships. They got a lot of slaves on board. Yeah. The other two ships, they're also in on it. They're like, I don't know where he went. Whoopsie. But we can go looking for him again. Just give us another ship and another brother.
Let's have another look. It's probably the same cruise.
Exactly. So they go again, they're like, alright, this is ship 2, see y'all later. And then for the third time, they're like, I don't know what happened, guys, we split up, whoops, we were covering more land. But then the king, you know, he caught on.
Because he's so, king for a reason.
Right. He wasn't born yesterday. He was born a couple years ago, at the very least.
At the very least, yeah.
So he forces Vasco to stay home. And the other two ships, I mean, having to keep up pretenses, they still go, of course. They meet Miguel and what was his name?
Gaspar.
I keep forgetting. And Gaspar, yeah, they meet him there. They're like, sorry, brothers. your little brother ain't coming along. But cheers from Portugal. And then they went back again. And essentially, Vasco was just forced to sit at home pondering what if, while the brothers were sailing the high seas, robbing the Spanish.
That's, I'm gonna be quite honest, doesn't even seem that unbelievable, like from logical perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty weird that their ship went missing both times. Like, you can't, unless these guys suck so bad
at sailing.
They go missing
in the same, like, around the same region, too.
Maybe, I don't know. It could also just be that they both ran into the same rock. Or, like, okay, what was the first guy? Miguel, right?
Gaspar.
Oh, sorry, I keep mixing this up. So Gaspar runs into a rock, right? They see something in the distance. Whoa, what's that? Runs into a rock, sinks, dies. Miguel goes looking. He's like, whoa, that's the remains. Wait, what's that in the distance? And then he crashes on the exact same rock.
And on the third one, they both end up sitting on the rock, and he's like, you literally couldn't have looked. You're the one to talk. You also ran into the same rock.
And the third one, because Vasco wasn't there to hit the same rock, nobody went in that direction, and they were fine. And they were just like, yeah, we couldn't find him, sorry.
I'm the host of this episode, I know exactly what happened.
Of course.
Yeah, as is always the case. You very smartly noticed that the trope is that those idiots keep getting in frozen seas.
Yeah.
So what happens is, Gaspar goes on to the first expedition. Because of frozen seas, he has to return. So he returns to Portugal. He's like, it's, you know, yeah, it's rough out there. What can I say? But it's sheer commitment and determinism that will get us there. No need to wait, you know, till the right time. Let's go again. Back at it again. They go. And what happens is they keep, like, you know, sailing, the ice breaks, and they keep, like, pushing. Of course, they get frozen within the sea. The ship is stuck there. Okay, well, fuck, I guess. I mean, I know my family will look for me, so we just have to last a year. Miguel will come looking for us. Okay. So, Miguel, obviously, is like, oh, my brother's lost, let's go looking for them. I know how he thinks, I know exactly where to find him. We go to the starting spot, let's cover more land, but I'm pretty sure I know where my brother went, so let me go that direction.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, he sails and he's like, ah, there the ship is, frozen in the sea, right? Same thing. Tries to get to the ship, like, you know, 50 yards in between ships. Closer. Oh la la, ship's frozen in two. Ship number two. Both ships just frozen in spot, looking at each other like two dumbasses. And Miguel is like, Gaspar, it's me! And Gaspar's like, fucking moron! Now we're both stuck here! It's okay, Vasco will come looking for us! And King Manuel, hearing that the second ship gets lost, he's like, you know what? I'm fucking done with these idiots. I already fucked up with the treaty that we don't get land now, and I keep hearing they keep finding lands on the west of the meridian. I am already up to ears with this shit. Vasco, you fucking stay home, lad. I am giving you two ships at best. And between you and me, like, he's talking to the crew, if you don't find those idiots, who the fuck cares? There's three brothers for a reason. Someone will continue the legacy. He's just done with the bullshit.
Maybe for the third one, it was like, I really can't be fucked to find these guys. Let's just send these two boats. We'll have Vasco stay here. So, like, it's still his expedition, but he has to stay here. Just have the boats sail, like, circles around Madeira for, like, a year. And then come back, like, we couldn't find anyone.
Oh, my God. They just get... What in reality happens, they literally sail to the next port that you can see from the city of Lisbon, right? But they change the nameplates. And they're like, oh, yeah, those ships went a year ago. They're looking for your brother. Vasco standing there at the seaport every day. You know, like, this emotional story where every morning he comes to the port and looks if the ships have returned. The ship is standing right next thing, but it's just a different nameplate. And he's like, my brothers, I'm waiting for you. And then one morning somebody from the crew is like, okay, we should probably tell him. And the guy completely misunderstands what he means by that. He's like, okay, goes down the dock. Yeah, so the crew returned, we didn't find your brothers. And the other guy's like, we should have told them that we're in the fucking ship, so they didn't go, you dumbass. And the brother is just like, oh, and then goes back home.
That's it. Oh, well, shit. Time for dinner. Because one thing that hasn't gone missing is my hunger.
Truly. But it also could have been... well, I don't know if you're familiar. I know in history, a lot of people say, oh, Columbus, first person to sail to America's New World, blah, 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 blah. In my history class, when I was in high school, true story, my teacher taught me that that's actually not the case, because the first people to ever find the North American continent as a whole settled in Greenland, and it was Vikings.
Yes.
Yes, and the specific name, actually, at least to according to her, was a Viking named Ericsson, and he was... I think he was banished from his, I don't know what they're called for Vikings, tribes, cities, towns, whatever. He was banished from his community, probably because he didn't die on the sea in a fight, and that's cowardly or whatever. You know Vikings, they're savage.
Right.
So anyhow, but this dude is a Viking, right? And he now goes to Greenland, and I'm going to fucking show him. Greenland, it's rough, but he's a Viking. It's home for him. And these fucking, you know... panty lads in their high silks and whatnot.
Panty lads?
And they're fucking, you know, these Spaniards. They're like, he like, this Viking sitting on his porch, which is the seaside, on the pebbles, on rocks, bare ass, because it's comfortable for him.
Right.
Sitting there, looking in the distance, sees Gaspar's ship. He's like, wife, give me the monocle. Puts the hands up, looks in the distance. What the fuck is that? And he sees these fucking Spaniards there, basically having a feast. Tea time, you know, roasting a hog. They're not meant for survival, these lads. But they're like, oh, we're exploring Greenland. Ha 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 ha. And this Ericsson is
your average Spaniard.
Yeah. And this Ericsson is like, well, let me show these fucks. And he starts, he's like, yo, my 13 sons and 7 daughters, come here. We're gonna learn today pebble throwing. You know the pebble skipping over water? But it's Vikings we're talking about. So imagine a kilometer away from the shore, there's a ship. And these Vikings are like, look. That is the bonding moment for the family, Sesh. He throws the rock pebble and it skips like 50 times and just fucking makes a hole into the ship's hull. Just goes straight through it. The Spaniards are like, oh my god, what is this? And then they look and they're like, well, a crowd of Vikings. And then they're like, ah, good hit, ooga ooga. And then the kids are like, yo, let's go. And then they just start throwing rocks at the ship from the shore. And it's a fun family bonding time, and the kids love it. The family's all involved. Finally, you know how teenagers are; they never want to spend time with their parents. Everybody's right. Happy. Greenland has happy. They get some loot out of it, probably because you know they go swimming in the frozen seas anyways in the morning. So they're like, okay, let's swim, get the shit out. And then lo and behold, 1 year later, they're sitting there. Viking dad is sitting there, like, ah, oh, remember the memories. Back this time of the year, Odin gave us the blessing that we got this fun time for the family, and the kids are like, oh, but daddy, yeah, it was so fun, like, make another ship this, like, appear, and he's like, well, I don't know, like, it just kind of appeared, I can't call up the ship, maybe I can find you, like, I don't know, like, a sea serpent or something, that's what Vikings do, right? And then lo and behold, there's another ship coming, and Dad is like, oh, yo, what a coincidence. Let's throw rocks again.
Such gentlemen. Oh my god, look, there's a ship. Let's pelt him with rocks.
Or, I mean, oh my god, I think I'm on it. I think this is it, Henry.
Hit me with it.
Must be. Ever heard of the bloop?
The bloop?
Yes. Have you heard of the bloop?
I have not heard of the bloop.
All right, everybody at home. Google the bloop sea creature.
Ah.
So, for those who didn't Google this, it's a mythological creature.
Right.
And it's basically a humongous, let's say, fish, but why it's... What's known for it is, I think the urban legend goes that if it opens its mouth and it's full, right? And you're like, uh-huh. I don't know, like swimming in the ocean, you wouldn't even understand you swam into its mouth. That's how big it is. That's the whole urban legend. This is like one of those SCP kind of things, monsters, right? Made up stories.
Right.
The idea is it could swallow like three ships whole without even, you know, hiccuping on it. And the bloop, it's a big, humongous fish. It has to eat big animals. And where do big animals hibernate? They go to the north, like the whales. They'll actually go to the north. They migrate. So the bloop probably is there in the summer to eat the whales. And then, whoa, there's a ship. And the bloop just goes, well, goddamn. And so from the side, like from Portugal, actually, because that's how big of a chomp it is, somewhere around Greenland, in the middle of the sea, a whole ship gets swallowed. But somewhere in Portugal, the only thing you hear, like if you were in the water, you know, sound waves carry differently in the water, you just hear a small bloop.
And that's where it got its name?
The bloop, because you can hear the bloop from anywhere in the ocean.
You know, I looked up the bloop, and I scrolled down far enough to find an image of an alligator crossed with a beaver. Like,
I also see that. And the image underneath it, what the fuck is that creature? The one with arms. Oh my god, this is why I have thalassophobia.
Yeah, but these are all so fake, Rudy. You don't have
they
to worry.
They are fake, but I must say, even the idea that this is like in urban legends, right? Just the idea of this existing in my fantasy is enough for me to be like, never, never ever in my life I will ever swim in the middle of the ocean.
Well, I wouldn't swim in the middle of the ocean either, but a cheeky coastline.
Only if I can see the bottom. I will swim only where I see the bottom. And if it's fair long enough. Weeds, forget about it.
All right. Well, Rudy, shall we go to that resolution?
Sorry, I keep looking at scary pictures and they keep scaring me.
Yeah.
Right, the resolution. Nice. So at some point, there was a myth circulating within the ranks of historians about Miguel, so the second one, becoming a chieftain of one of the indigenous people's tribes there. Because I think that the myth goes that there was a rock where this was inscribed in Latin on. But
did anybody say rock?
Oh my god. But the myth was actually completely debunked. Like, completely. There was like, I don't know, it was like an urban legend, and then some historians actually tried to debunk it, and they succeeded more than successfully.
I feel like that's kind of a stretch anyway. Why would this random become, like, a chief?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, okay.
Yeah, so apart from that, no real evidence has ever been recorded, and now this is my subjective view, but I read up more on especially Gaspar, and I don't think there's gonna be more evidence, because due to the sketchy things Gaspar did to indigenous people, his history in the ranks of historians seemed to rise a lot of controversial debates, a lot of the times when his name even comes up, so if it's up to my interpretation, probably no further developments will be found, because I found out that at some point, I think in Canada, or like near the place where he landed, there was a statue for him built as joint something between Portugal and Canada. And indigenous people, community of Canada were very pissed about it. They got it torn down basically after some years. And
understandable.
Yes, of course. And that he had also a building at some science university for exploration or history or something named after him, and they also renamed that because he's such a controversial figure. Nobody, you know, he's a bad figure in history for indigenous people. So, understandably, nobody. Maybe we shouldn't know more about him.
I mean, he sounded like a bit of an unpleasant guy. So
he's just your average conquistador, basically.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just that in Greenland, there's not much land to claim, I guess, that would be conquistador-worthy, so he never got the title.
I think conquistador was Spanish anyway, no?
Oh, that's true, that's true.
But, like, the concept is, yeah, like, he was basically...
colonizer.
Yeah, I mean, that's what conquistadors are, right?
Yep.
Well, there you have it, people. Just another day at the races. Just another day being a bad guy. It was all allowed back in the 1500s.
I mean, honestly, as a small thing before we end. Do you... Because there's obviously something... Like, I don't know, for me, there are sometimes something, right? Growing up in the generation that I feel like... Like, nowadays, people are kind of like, you know, it's openly talkable about, and we sometimes make fun of specific things. Sometimes we talk openly about specific things. But I feel like, give it 10 to 20 years, and this topic will be, like, sensitive to the moment where you, like, you can't talk about this anymore. Do you sometimes feel, like, about specific things like this?
I mean, not necessarily right now, but it's definitely, like, it will happen, yeah. Like, I couldn't think of an example right now. But it's definitely true. I mean, look at 10 years ago and look at now, right?
Yeah.
I think we discussed this yesterday as well without going into too much detail.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We did.
So. Yeah.
Times are changing.
It's true. Well, times are changing, just like this podcast, because we're coming to an end. Thank you for listening, everybody. Did you want to say something, Rudy?
Yes, I will clarify that it's not the podcast that's coming to them, it's the episode, all right? Because I have enough of questions or people asking, oh, how many more episodes will you do? Until we run out of content, which won't be anytime soon.
Right. When we stop, you'll know. It's not like we're going to go cold turkey on you suddenly.
Exactly.
Right? All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. If you enjoyed the episode, I don't know, good for you. I don't know why I said this even, but thank you for listening. Just thanks. I hope you... Yeah, no. Have fun. You deserve
okay, it seems
it's derailing.
Henry has completely derailed. If you want to leave feedback, leave it at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com is the name, the full name of our podcast as you find it on the podcast, wherever you listen to this, gmail.com. If you want to specifically give me some feedback or your feedback you want to go through me, then you go to Instagram where you can DM me on 000RUDYS000, so 3 0s, Rudy's 3 0s. Or if you don't prefer to, you know, contact directly for any one of us. You can also, if you're a Spotify listener, leave your feedback on the episode itself. There's a questionnaire at the end where you can leave a reply.
Yes.
Emotional support from Henry, as always. Be king. And thank you for listening, everybody. You were an Italian listening to this. I hope
you weren't.
And there's the balance of the universe, as I always say. Italians, I never forgot you. I am almost hitting 140 days of Duolingo in Italian. And I must say, your grammar when it comes to pronoun usage and the freaking however, obviously, therefore, and all of these words, it's hardcore, isn't it? But I am committed.
All right. We gotta go before our outro music runs out. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Ciao.